Welcome back, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to everybody. Hopefully you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Scotty and I trying to get you ready for this Utah-Washington matchup, the newly announced matchup. And here to help us get you ready is the play-by-play voice for the Washington Huskies, Tony Castricone. Tony, long time no talk. How you been, my friend?
Good, man. I'm thankful for football, thankful that my wife is a better cook than I am, so that way there's good food tomorrow, thankful for lots of stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. There is a lot to be thankful for. Like, everybody's stirred up because the Utah-Arizona State game got canceled and things got changed, but guess what, man? We've got football on Saturday. I want to start with this. I know that Utah had some inkling. They had some idea, even going back to Sunday evening into Monday preparation, that it might be Washington, or that there was a good chance it'd be Washington. Do you feel like Washington's been actively preparing for Utah as well?
I don't. In fact, we're going to have our radio coaches show with Jimmy Lake tonight, and then he's going to meet the media for his press conference here in about an hour. But, you know, I think early in the week, Washington was trying to get together with BYU. That was much publicized and talked about. And then, of course, Washington was trying to line up a non-conference opponent, given the fact that the Pac-12 is now free to do that. Although, I mean, it is tough. I see both sides of the argument. If you're trying to line up an opponent in non-conference play, it's tough to get somebody to agree to be second fiddle when they could get bumped by a league opponent later in the week. And then at the same time, of course, the Pac-12 wants to take care of their own. So that makes sense. But so Washington, you know, was considering BYU. I was hearing reports that they may have come to an agreement with San Diego State. Now last night they find out they're playing against Utah. So this will undoubtedly be a short week of prep for Washington and for Utah. But that being said, I think that this year a lot of that stuff kind of goes out the window. You know, I just feel like there's so many things. The team that's just able to adapt, and Jimmy Lake has said this, the team that's able to adapt and the team that's able to have the virus under control, those are the teams that are going to be the most successful. And so, you know, I know there's a lot about this game that's unconventional. I know that Utah came to Seattle last year, and folks might say, well, why are they doing that 2 years in a row and all that stuff? I mean, all I know is this. There's been a ton of work going on behind the scenes by the athletic directors, the football staffs, the television networks, everything that everybody can do just to try to find pairings that are executable. They don't always make sense, but they're executable, and that's why we've got this game in Seattle this Saturday, and I think we're happy and thankful to be playing it, and I suppose Utah probably is as well.
I think so, yeah. I had an opportunity to watch that Washington-Arizona game, and I had a good sense of Arizona because I was doing some film prep with them and USC, and so I felt like that was a really good Arizona team. I think Grant Gunnell's a good quarterback. And I felt like Washington ripped him in half. I felt like they had him kind of keyed in from the very jump. And I can't remember what the exact number was. I think it was 24-0 in the first half. Washington was just blowing the doors off Arizona, especially defensively. Kind of take me through Washington's defense. Are they veteran-laden? And who's leading that defense right now?
Yeah, great question. Well, 37-0 in the quarters. And all of Arizona's points came in the fourth. Most of their, I'd say, three-quarters of their yards came in the fourth. Washington's defense was elite the other night. And I think, you know, I think what we're always going to wonder is what would have been if the Pac-12 would have been able to boot this thing up a little bit sooner. Because once the Pac-12 canceled not the first but the second schedule, the 10-game conference-only schedule, the Huskies lost a couple to the NFL draft. Joe Tryon, who was a stud off the edge, Levi Onwuzurike, who's a big-time defensive tackle. Both those guys said, you know what, we're just going to concentrate on getting ready for the next level, and opted out of this year of football. So those were some losses. And then also when you consider Liatu Latu, a starter off the edge, and Tuli Lotulinasanoa, maybe the best defensive tackle on the team. Both those two have not played in the first two games of the year due to injury. So where I'm going with this is you could argue an entire starting front four is out for the defense right now, and they're still performing at this level. And that's just, you know, it's a credit to the depth that this defense has recruited over the years. It's a credit to the way it's been coached up by Jimmy Lake on the defensive side of the ball. But the strength of the defense is the secondary. I mean, the secondary is elite. Elijah Molden is an All-American candidate at the nickel position. They've got two pretty good lockdown corners on both sides of the field. And then the safeties are young but really coming along. They've got a new safety in Alex Cook. He's a converted wide receiver who I was surprised to see him become a starter this year, but he's really excelled at the safety position. And then the other safety is a true sophomore in Asa Turner, who they feel like even at 19, 20 years old, he's become a real leader on the defensive side of the ball and understands the game incredibly well. So the defense is just top-notch. And much like Utah, you know, I mean, I think this team, that's their brand of football, is they want to be physical, hard-nosed on the offensive side, but then defensively they want to be stout and a brick wall. And I think they've got the veteran, unlike this Utah team, they've got the veterans. They've got, you know, eight returning starters on that side of the ball, and that's maybe a little bit of an edge that they have on the youth when you compare defenses.
Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies, joining us. So Tony, I was doing a little bit of film work this morning, and I actually wrote the name down because I wanted to talk about him today. Tupuola Fatui. I don't know if this guy was kind of coined as the guy that would lead. I don't know if he's been fantastic all year or since he's been at Washington, but he definitely jumped out to me on film as a guy that could be a difference maker.
Yeah, no question. So Zion Tupuola Fatui was not supposed to be a starter this year. Talked about how, you know, we expected to have Ryan Bowman, who's a fifth-year senior. He is there on one of the edges, but then it was going to be Joe Tryon. Tryon opts out the NFL. Then we think it's going to be Liatu Latu. He's out with an injury. So Zion Tupuola Fatui ends up in there. And all he's done in the first two games is he has four sacks, two forced fumbles, and he would have had a fifth sack if he wasn't blatantly held on a play that did result in a 10-yard penalty. But he would have had a quarterback sack. And so, you know, I just think he's been a huge, huge benefit for this Husky defense to have that kind of presence on the edge. A guy who has a true freshman coming out of Pearl City, Hawaii, only played in a couple of games and had one tackle in 2018. Then last year as a redshirt freshman, I think only had nine tackles all year long. I can't honestly say, I know they were high on him, but I can't honestly say I thought his time was going to come here at the beginning of the season. But unquestionably, he has made the most of his opportunity.
Man, I'll tell you, that guy was
stud everywhere.
Yeah, total stud. I'm watching, and he forces you to watch him. Number 58 for the Utah fans out there getting ready to watch this Utah-Washington game coming up on Saturday. This guy is a guy that Utah is going to need to key in on because he is nasty in that backfield. When he gets past that first line, he's ripping quarterbacks in half. It did feel like, as I watched that game against Arizona, it really does feel like Washington's doing everything they can to try to take some of the pressure off of a freshman quarterback in that run game. But there's also some responsibility that's heaped on him. How has Dylan Morris, your freshman quarterback, handled it?
Yeah, really great. I mean, if you look at, you know, a redshirt freshman, just the third this century to start at quarterback at Washington as a freshman, joining Jake Walker and Jake Browning, two pretty good names.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been really solid. And he's shown a propensity to be able to really have a strong arm too. I mean, he throws some bullets over the middle. Really, if there's any knock on him in the first couple of games, it's that his deep balls don't have enough touch. They're maybe throwing a little too much on a line. But I think he's a heady quarterback who just knows where his guys are, when they're supposed to be there, and is just really quick at reading and making decisions. And he makes good decisions. And I think, you know, for a freshman to have played eight quarters of football, and not have taken any sacks and not have any turnovers. That's remarkable. And granted, Washington's first two games were not against the best defenses in the Pac-12. Oregon State and Arizona have had their documented struggles on that side of the ball the last few years. But it wasn't FCS Eastern Washington, you know? Like, I mean, these are conference opponents, eight quarters, no sacks, no turnovers. I mean, that's exactly what you want out of a quarterback. And so, you know, he's allowed these great playmakers around him to make plays. They've got a stable of four really good running backs. They've got a great big offensive line, and they've got some talented young receivers on the outside. And so, you know, I just think this offense is only going to get better. I think the one question that I have, Hans, that I haven't quite figured out yet, is you just said they did a good job of putting an offense together to, you know, take some of the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
And what I haven't figured out yet is that what they were doing, or is this what they're going to be? I don't know. I mean, they want to be really multiple, two and three tight end sets, pro style. They want to run the football. They certainly want to, like, run to set up a vertical passing game. But I think that this is a football team that really wants to just grind it out and be physical and run the football. And so it should be interesting to see how this offense evolves over the course of this short season and certainly going into next year.
Well, talk to me about this because, Tony, I don't know a ton about Jimmy Lake. I'm not a – I just don't know. What is his identity? When he came in, what did you guys identify him as?
Well, his whole career has been on the defensive side of the ball. And so this is the first time that he's really worked in a significant capacity with an offense. And he hired John Donovan, who was a running backs coach at the Jacksonville Jaguars, to come in and run a pro-style offense. I mean, that's what he wants to be. Jimmy Lake has NFL experience. He wants to run a program that not only has great students, but also guys that are preparing to be professional athletes for a short window in their life. And I think, you know, he wants a lot of what they do to feel like an NFL program. I mean, he's even called their preseason scrimmages. He set up four very specific preseason scrimmages to be their preseason games. He's really trying to run it like a mini NFL program. And I think that what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball is trying to create that pro-style offense. They want to be multiple. They want to run first, but they want to do it to set up a passing game. And they just want to be physical and be maulers and really assert their will. And I think if you look at the box score, 37 minutes time of possession in both of the first two games, they've been able to do just that.
Well, Tony, we sure appreciate you jumping on with us. Thanks for the short notice. And I know everything's on a short notice and nothing is typical. I mean,
yep.
I really do appreciate you coming on. I think you're one of the best in the business. And hopefully I get to see you during bowl season at some point.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I'm just happy that we're able to connect this week. And, you know, hope and pray for all the best for you and your loved ones.
Awesome, man. We appreciate that, Tony. There you go. That's Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies, kind of giving us a breakdown there and helping us understand what this Washington team is going to look like. What I would tell Utah fans is this Utah coaching staff has a tremendous amount of respect for this Washington team. In fact, I think if you were to interview them and put a little truth serum in them, I think that they would tell you that they believe that this Washington team is a better team than Arizona State. It's just my guess. It's what the film looks like. It's what Washington currently looks like through their first two games. That it was, I believe it was 27-0 in the first half of that game against Arizona. And as Tony pointed out, Arizona was blank through three quarters. And then you had some mess-ups and some turnovers and some second-teamers for Washington that gave up whatever it was, 24 or 27 points there in the fourth quarter. But, Scotty, all the way through those three quarters, I know you watched that Washington-Arizona game. All the way through those three quarters, Washington looked like the best Pac-12 team.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%.
So I think Utah is – they are readying themselves. But Scotty, as Tony pointed out there at the beginning of that interview, he said that he didn't think Washington had been preparing at all for Utah. He said that he believed that they were actively looking at potentially BYU if they would agree to play as a backup option. They were looking at possibly San Diego State and trying to get an out-of-conference game to fill this slot. It sounds to me like they weren't really gearing up for Utah. And I think Utah was kind of actively gearing up for Washington, believing that Arizona State wasn't going to be able to play.
Yeah. Do you believe that, by the way? I mean, do you believe that Washington really felt like that? I just really feel like all along they really felt like it was always going to be Utah, but I don't know, maybe. I just don't know if he believes that or if he's just given the company line on that one.
Well, I have to imagine, you know, if a coach is caught off guard like that, then, you know, you need to talk to that coach and say, how did you not kind of prepare for this? Arizona State, it was rumored coming out of last Saturday that Arizona State would not be ready for this upcoming weekend. And then when they moved it to Sunday, that should have given Washington every indicator that they're doing everything they can to salvage it, that they were holding on by a thread. And Washington had to assume that if that Arizona State – look, we assumed it since Monday morning when we stepped on air.
Yeah.
How could Washington not have assumed that? So, got to imagine that they had GAs that were breaking down percentages, which is where game recruiting starts.
Yep.
That is the first and foremost thing. When guys are playing in a game, these GAs are taking all that, you know, 2-3 game film weeks and compiling it and taking percentages down and distance percentages and trying to identify defensive percentages and all those kinds of things to give indicators of putting in a weekly game plan for a specified team. And that could have been being done, Scotty, without Tony Castrico knowing or without even the team knowing. That should have been done. So I think my gut tells me Utah and Washington are going to be more prepared for each other than anybody wants to think, because this isn't a multi-million dollar business. So a bunch of knuckleheads could just jump on a field and play football. That is not college football. It is extremely sophisticated. It is very detailed. There are many, many people that are helping make these decisions. And I do believe that these guys are both going to be prepared and have been preparing to some length probably since Monday.
Yeah, that's a fair point. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I'm here in South Dakota. Utah State will square off against VCU coming up at 7:30 tonight. Pre-game show will begin at 7, and so we'll have complete coverage right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hans is back at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street, where Hans, all kinds of great savings. I know Mark is just blowing it out over there, making it happen.
Well, yeah, and in favor of you being in South Dakota, okay, we've got something really, really, really special, okay? You ready for this? It's the new, all brand new Rogue. And, you know, that Rogue, I'm telling you, you've got to see it. It's the 2021 Rogue. It's all been totally redesigned, and it is amazing. The safety, the capability, you know, it's all-wheel drive. You're just going to love it. $249 a month. $249 a month. Can you
Scotty,
believe it?
Scotty, he's holding full character here, Scotty.
That's like, you know, just, you know, I mean, you can pull up and say, hey, folks, come on, let's go. I've got the all-wheel drive. Don't worry about those South Dakota winters. You know.
You want me to make you some eggs, Marge?
Oh, yeah.
Margie.
And, you know, we can run to the store, get a pig and a poke, and there you go.
Oh, man.
But we're serious, man. Black Friday is happening. And that Rogue, if you haven't seen it, you need to get down here. We've got a bunch of them just came in. We're selling them like hotcakes because this is the number one selling small SUV in the United States. They didn't want to mess that up, and they made something really fantastic. $249 a month on a lease, 0% interest for 72 months on 9 different models, and forever warranty on everything you buy.
Well, I just, when I got here to lovely South Dakota, I went to the old rental car, and they asked me what I wanted, and they had a Rogue there, and I'm like, bam, take it.
That's
and
it.
I drive a Murano right now, and so I haven't driven a Rogue, but I will say that this is, I think it was like an 18 or 19 Rogue, and that's already a fantastic vehicle. If this is built from the ground up and is brand new and you're falling in love with this, I can't imagine how great that thing is.
Oh, yeah. That's like, it's like getting a Caterpillar, you know, just so everybody in South Dakota knows. You know what to compare it to. They are great cars. You're going to love them.
Love it, Mark. Thanks so much, man. 4500 South State Street. Get down there. 0% financing on up to 9 models. You've got the forever warranty, those brand new Rogues. There's no reason why you shouldn't get down there and check it out right there on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Oh, yeah.
This is DJ and PK. Joined now by Dennis Dodge, CBSSports.com.
If you want to pick an eye test, this is the best BYU team since at least 96, the Steve Sarkisian team that went 14-1. You've got an Outland Trophy front runner in Brady Christensen on the offensive line, Zach Wilson on to tell you about. The two receivers, Milton Romney, can play for anybody, frankly, in the country right now. And I love the Tonga kid who's getting more and more attention in the middle. On defense, they've got dudes. If that's the question, they've got dudes. They can play.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hands of Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by Zero Res. Remember, you get 3 rooms of carpet clean for $33 per room, and the 4th room's free. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376.
Well, Scotty, the good, we've got to start right where the good is getting. And that is with the match. You brought this up yesterday. Talking about Phil Mickelson paired up with the round mound of rebound.
Yep.
And Peyton Manning paired up with Steph Curry. And the match is, I think it's a fascinating event. I think it's entertaining. I like the format. I like the alternate shot because Phil Mickelson is going to have to clean up for some of Charles Barkley's bad shots. And you know, it will be fun. It'll be back and forth. And Steph Curry and Peyton are kind of on the same plane. Steph's a little bit better golfer than Peyton, but obviously neither one of them could carry themselves against Phil Mickelson. So I think it's fascinating. But, Scotty, at the last check, this has already raised $6.5 million for charity.
Wow.
$6.5 million for charity. And each of them have their charitable interests. And whichever pair wins, that's where the charities will be distributed. But they are raking in a ton of money to send out to these different companies or schools or communities in need. So it's really a cool deal. I love this. I just think it's a great thing altogether. And I will be watching this on Friday. This is absolutely a marquee event for me on Friday.
Do you think that this is helping with Peyton Manning? Because I got to imagine you play at a high level, you win a Super Bowl, and then you're just supposed to shut it down. Do you think this is helping with the competitive itch that I know a lot of former athletes have?
I promise you it is. Yeah, I promise you it is. It's got to be very cathartic for him to step out there, be able to compete against himself and compete against others. And, you know, I have found it to be extremely helpful for me. I think I've been golfing now for, I think this was my 8th season. I started golfing the year that 1280 was bought out. That would be about 8 years ago, right, Scotty?
Yeah, it was 2012.
2012, so yeah. And it has been, absolutely, it has been a relief for me to be able to express some of those competitive natures out and play golf. So I'm sure this is helping Peyton fight through it. And probably, it's probably why Charles Barkley and all these other professional athletes continue to golf. Nice outlet.
And but you know, it's one thing. Well, I don't know. Maybe I got to think it's one thing about dropping, you know, six figures on a round when you got money to burn and you're, you know, betting outrageous dollars between you and your buddies, and then also throwing it on television knowing you got millions of people watching it. So when you got a what does Lloyd call it, a cooked egg or a and you have
egg.
A bad shot, a fried egg,
overcooked it.
You overcook it.
Yeah.
Not are you just your buddies making fun of you. You got millions of people on Twitter making fun of you.
Yeah. These guys are good sports, aren't they? I mean, to go and do what they're doing and make this amount of money for charity, I just respect it. I respect them for doing it.
How much money do you think is being exchanged that we don't know about?
My guess is six-figure amounts, probably, between those four individuals. And I don't know in what fashion, but I promise you it's probably kept between them, the caddies, maybe the camera crew. And
Phil is leading the way on this.
Well, I know, yeah. The FBI is going to get degenerate. Involved with Phil before too long on this.
Yeah. But I wouldn't make a single bet with Phil on his home turf. This is his home course.
Yeah.
He bought it. Did you know that? This course that they're playing on, he liked it so much he just went out and bought it.
He bought the company.
Yeah, wow. bought the course. So this is his golf course. And they're bringing him on his turf. I just think every advantage goes to Phil. I think he's going to be able to clean up Charles, and I think he'll put a putter in Charles' hand and just say, hey, Charles, just put this off the tee box to, you know, give me 15 yards off the tee box with this putter, and I'll do the rest. Like, he can make up for Charles' terrible swing and horrible golf game.
The pairing is really interesting. I think it's going to be fun to watch and see how you got two really good golfers up against an elite golfer and a bad golfer. So I mean, it'll be fun to see how that evens up. I mean, he just needs to get two or three good shots from Charles. If Charles can putt a little bit, or he's got some level of short game, then they'll probably roll. He just needs to get a little bit of help. How many? I mean, I'm kind of curious. Mm. And it's every other shot, right? It's not best ball.
No. Remember, they each take the tee box. And whoever's shot they take off the tee box, you alternate shot from that point. So remember, like on a par three, everybody shot the par three from the tee box.
Yeah.
And then the person's ball you took, the other one had to putt. And then, you know, you would just kind of do a lag or a layup and hope that either Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson could clean up. But that's why I think Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley are going to blow him out, because I think on the par threes, Phil's going to drop it close. And, you know, I think Steph and Peyton might get within 20 feet, 30 feet. And then they're going to have to try to lag putt and see if they can get it in two, where Phil's going to, he's going to be able to drop some of those approach shots and give Barkley at least a chance to sink it with a chance to clean it up. I know I'm getting too far into this, but I just think Phil and Charles just dominate this match.
All right, Lloyd, jump in on this. Over, under, drives that from Charles that they end up using, 2.5.
Oh, man. I'm going to take the over. No, are they required to take a certain amount?
Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Well, ooh. Actually, Lloyd might have a point, Scotty.
That's typically how it works.
I think they're forced to take three or something like that. That's a good point, Lloyd. I forgot about that.
Can't imagine they're just going to say, oh, we'll take my drive.
I think they have
then it's
to use
pointless.
A certain amount of the other guy's drives. So, yeah, that does. Oh, Scotty, that you raise a very interesting point here. That might change the whole thing up.
All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, for the coronavirus, if you first you don't succeed, try again. Nick Saban tests positive, and this time apparently it's for real. Remember a couple weeks ago he had a positive, and he was going to shut it down for a bit, And then they continued to retest him, and it was negative, 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 negative. So it was a ended up they declared it a false positive, and Nick Saban was able to go about his coaching business. But now the University of Alabama announced today that he has tested positive. He is showing mild symptoms, and they're like, no, this is he's got the virus. This isn't a false negative this time. And he will be forced to miss the Iron Bowl coming up this weekend with Alabama playing Auburn.
Oh, boy. But we are sure that this time it is real.
Unless Nick Saban gets a hold of a tester and says, I'm going to need 7 negative tests from you right now.
Oh, man. But, Nick, we don't test the urine. I don't care.
Here it is.
Take it.
I've provided several samples for you.
Can you at least put it in an enclosed vial? No.
It's a Ziploc bag. Enjoy it. Use it.
So you brought up the term that he is suffering or showing very, and it's emphasized, very mild symptoms. So what does that mean? Like he's got a little cough or I don't – very
well,
mild
Nick,
symptoms.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem like a guy that wants to express any amount of weakness. So, I mean, look, he could be hooked up to an oxygen tank and coughing like crazy and be like, it's mild. Tell everybody it's mild. I'm fine.
Looking like a slot machine in Wendover on the weekend.
Yeah.
Nick? Nick?
You all right? He's on one of those little jazzy scooters.
Gosh, Scotty, the bad thing is sometimes I think you and I think we're funnier than we actually are. But, you know, doggone it, if you don't make me laugh, that's fine. This is where the laughs are coming.
Taking out your oxygen long enough to puff a cigarette.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've just been out to Wendover too many times and seen things that I'm like.
Wendover. It's Vegas. It's everywhere, yeah.
But then, like, I stop and I pause and I'm like, huh. You know, that wouldn't be a bad way to spend retirement, actually, yeah. You know.
Maybe they're living their best life right there.
Sitting in your hover round and having basically your front room attached to the back part of the hover room. And having the leeway, like the you have the right of way, like everybody's like, here, let me help you get through. Like, I remember I actually helped a guy get through a line so that he could get his bets in before. Like, it's like they get first say in their hover round. So, yeah, that might be Nick Saban.
Here's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Oh, man, for all of you looking forward to some really good football on Thursday, think again, because it's not going to happen. Because the only good game, the only game that had any real kind of value to it has been moved to Sunday. And, frankly, I don't know if this game's going to get played. They might. You remember when the season started in the NFL, we had a lot of shuffling going around and a lot of issues. But that's kind of calmed down over the last a month and a half or so, but now we do have a game that's being moved back. It is the Steelers and the Ravens. We're all looking forward to it. It was going to be the nightcap on Thursday night, but because of an outbreak on the Ravens team, that game has now been pushed back to Sunday. So your games are going to be 3-7 Texans against the 4-6 Lions, and then you're going to have the 3-7 Washington football team up against the 3-7 Dallas Cowboys. Those are your two NFL games.
Yeah, put that right in my veins, man. Washington and the Cowboys, both 3-7 at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. This is unbearable. Neither of these games are interesting to me. I guess, Scotty, what do? Do you pull up a chair and watch the Cowboys continue to fall apart, be embarrassed, look terrible? Like, how do you even address these two games? Because you're supposed to at least have – like, I was all geared up and ready for that Ravens-Steelers game to at least have a competitive matchup. I don't know how to take this.
You watch a guy that has made a miraculous comeback, and you root for him to have a great game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got the Alex Smith angle, too, and then also the knowledge that
– that's a good one.
also the knowledge that whoever wins this Washington-Dallas game will be leading the NFC East. That's how bad
they're 500. Jeez. That's so bad.
Yeah.
Two good angles there, buddy. Two good angles.
That's trying to put lipstick on a pig right there.
Well, we sold it.
All right. Yeah. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Whole World News coming up next.
Number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans, it's time for another edition of Whole World News. Of course, as always, brought to you by Elite Works, where you get that website taken care of right now. You got a website that's you're embarrassed by, you don't like, you need, you know it needs to be fixed, you know it needs to be better, and it's embarrassing you. Well, call our good friends at Elite Works, 844-523-2777. If you need that CRM or online selling ability, they'll make it happen for you. Go or call 844-523-2777.
All right, Scotty, I want to take you back to when you were just a 12-year-old boy. You know, I go back to when I was 12. Like I mentioned, I was setting up G.I. Joe guys in football formations and playing football with my G.I. Joe guys and waking up and watching Wildcats on a Saturday morning. I do remember we'd have, like, little stupid eating competitions. Like, we'd get a pack of ramen out and crush it up and put mustard and, like, chopped liver and all kinds of stuff in it and see who'd eat it, maybe throw a worm or two in it, like – That's what we were doing at 12. Like, what were you doing at 12?
Yeah, pretty much the same stuff. Yeah.
Shooting a BB gun through a city lamp or something like that.
Not a lot of G.I. Joes at that point, but I was doing a lot of stupid stuff that I was pretty much embarrassed of, yeah.
Well, this 12-year-old boy in Georgia has been accepted to attend Georgia Tech. He said he plans to study aerospace engineering for career in space exploration. His name is Caleb Anderson. Like I mentioned, he's 12 years old. He is dual enrolled right now in high school and the Chattahoochee Technical College. He is aiming to start classes at Georgia Tech next fall. Here's a quote from him. "Well, I think I'm going to go to Mars and do more school, and then I think I'm going to try to get my master's at Georgia Tech, and then do an internship with Elon Musk, and then I'm going to probably get my PhD at MIT, and then I guess I'll just start working at either NASA or SpaceX at that point." That is a quote from a 12-year-old in Georgia.
Nerd.
Nerd! Man, I just want to throw a Murphy around. So this is what his parents said. "At 3 weeks old, I noticed that Caleb was trying to mimic my words. And by 4 months, he was picking up all of my basic signs." Says Father Kobe Anderson said Caleb was asking questions from the time that he first was able to talk. He said he's kind of always been this way, where you'll ask these, he will ask these very deep, profound questions, and you don't expect to see that from a three-year-old. That's kind of been the road. That's been our journey as parents. So this 12-year-old has, you know, since the time he could talk, was asking about the greater things in life, and it's just crazy to think the difference in humans.
I
get those nerds! Nerds!
I actually
am worried about the kid, honestly, Because if that kid showed up to Weezer Junior High School and was sitting next to Hans Olsen, I don't know how well that goes for him.
Well, I'd lean over. I'd be like, sure, you got an A on your math test, but do you know how to French kiss?
Give me your tots.
I
would not bully him for
his tots. Give me your tots.
What's his name again?
Caleb.
Caleb, give me your tots.
I wouldn't bully him for his tots.
Oh, you bullied somebody for less.
Lloyd, don't paint me in that picture. I was a protector. I was very much against bullying for the most part.
Wait, you were like Pedro's his squad? It just shows up in a lowrider. You were the protector.
If you had my boondoggle, you were guaranteed protection.
Hans offers you his protection.
But it's gonna cost you your tots.
There you go.
Oh man. I never harassed or assaulted anybody that didn't deserve it. That's the truth.
But the problem is you were judge and jury on deserving.
Yeah. And I tried to be very rational in my decisions on who deserved the assault. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
This boy's going to do very good things in the world.
Well, yeah, he's going to Mars, apparently. So, hey, good for him.
It's crazy, man.
Probably not going to get a wedgie on Mars. That's probably why he wants to go there.
I don't know. I guarantee there's aliens up there. They're going to be like, nerds. They're just doing it in like a different
this
language.
This is who you sent? This guy?
Oh, get those nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
I'm telling you, man, it's just different. Like, when I was 12, I was hoping for a trip to, like, the little strip mall in Nampa. Like, that was – this kid
wants
to –
You were going there for a second. I was like, wow.
Jeez.
Okay, sorry.
This kid wants to go to Mars and get his PhD from MIT.
Hans was,
when you're 12, you're seeking out, you know, National Geographic. So.
Hans was eating Whoppers off the floor at Burger King.
Way different.
Oh, like I said, man, I think we're funny. I just hope that others do. Because don't know, man. Yeah, I did. It was a Big Mac.
Oh, a Big Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that was a bully that squished my Big Mac and threw it on the floor. And that's where I did consume it, from McDonald's floor. That is true. But I was only 11 then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You wouldn't have done that at 12.
Grew a lot in that year.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I'm here in South Dakota. Utah State in action today as they'll take on VCU. That game will tip off at 7:30. Pregame show begin at 7 o'clock. Hans, you are at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. 0% financing. The forever warranty. Mark, I don't know if there's any reason why people shouldn't be buying right now, because you're giving them no excuses not to buy.
Unless you're being bullied for tater tots, no.
Yes.
Listen, this is the Black Friday sale. This is huge. This is when you have been waiting all year to get the best deal you can on a new Nissan. And let me tell you right now, our new Altima, you got 0% interest for up to 72 months, or you can lease this big bad baby for like $249 a month, and forever warranty and worry-free sanitized. This is where we spray down the inside of your car with medical-grade protection, and it lasts for about 6 months, and it kills all sorts of bacteria and little COVID things and, all the grimy little kids that put stuff all over your dash, whatever. You don't have to worry about it. It's all taken care of. All of that for Black Friday and Saturday. You've got to come down here to Tim Daly Nissan. We've got a lot to choose from, too. We've also got, the Sentra. If you've seen the new Sentras, they are so nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and you're like $199 a month for one of those. And
wow.
The Rogue, the brand new, all redesigned Rogue, $249 a month.
You know, it's interesting on those Sentras. I mean, that's kind of the price where you get a pretty good used vehicle. You can just go new and just get the Sentra.
Do you know, you're onto something there. We do that a lot with folks that are coming in and they're looking at this used car. And we're like, yeah, we can give you a brand new one for this.
Yeah.
And when they get in and they drive that new Sentra and it's got Apple CarPlay and it's got all the stuff on it, they're like, man,
This is the way to go. You don't realize when you're buying a used car, you're not getting the top end of the safety part of it. You know, you're losing out on that technology. You're losing out on efficiency. You're losing out on a lot of safety features that you get in a brand new Nissan, plus warranty and forever warranty from us.
Forever warranty. Absolutely.
Always.
Let's make that happen. Get down there. It's Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.